Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 21. We are picking up right where we left off. If you remember in the last passage, we left Paul having just been arrested by the Roman authorities after a riot in which people were trying to beat him to death. So we are going to pick that story up. And if you notice, the theme on this, what we call this topic, the title for this whole series in Acts is called They Were Sent. And of course, that's a play, obviously, on what we say to you. We've said it a couple times this morning already, that you are sent. And when we say that, when we say you are sent, we want you to hear that as a statement of fact. You are sent. It's not a command. We're not saying to you, be sent. You need to send yourself. And it's not a wish. We're not saying, oh, that you were sent. It's not a prayer to God. We're not saying, oh, you know, may God send you. We're not asking you a question. You know, do you think you're sent or not? Like, it's just a statement of fact. You are sent. It's a reality in your life. Because Paul, when he writes to the Romans in chapter 1, he'll say to the folks he's writing to, he'll say, through Jesus, we have all received grace and apostleship. We've all been commissioned as apostles. So Tim was just saying up here, you know, we're all missionaries. The word in the Bible for missionary is apostle. And it means someone who's sent. That's literally what the word means. The apo means out and the stelo means send. You're an apostle. Paul says we've all been commissioned as apostle. Apostle's a churchy word. The way they would normally say it in their world is that we're all heralds. Apostle was a normal word in their world. It was a herald. There's no internet. There's no newspapers. There's no mail. There's no telephone. There's no TV, right? How is information disseminated in their world? Heralds. People come and proclaim things. That they say it out. They speak it. So the Roman army has pushed the Parthians back to the Euphrates. So it's safe to travel now inland in Israel. You're no longer stuck in the borders of Israel. You can travel inland because the army has pushed out the invaders. A herald would come and announce that. It's in their language, it's the gospel. It's the gospel of the defeat of the Parthians. It's good news. Paul says, we're all heralds. All of us, wherever we are. You know, the Great Commission, go and make disciples. And if you've hung out here before, you've heard us say, the way Jesus says it, it's not two commands. It's not go and then make disciples. If you wanted to translate it more literally, but, you know, less fluent English, it's something like having gone, make disciples. Okay, maybe for some of us at some points in time. Yeah, God's expecting you to go somewhere. Like we went to West Africa at one point. We went to Asia at one point. God's going to send you somewhere. But having gone, make disciples. But for most of us, it's not that God's going to send you off to the ends of the earth. But you are sent. You are sent. Wherever you are, you've gone there. To my knowledge, nobody woke up in this building this morning. Anybody? Twix? No? Excellent. We all came here. We're all going to leave here. We're going to go somewhere else. You are sent. Maybe you're sent to your home. Maybe you're sent out to lunch. Maybe you're sent to visit somebody. But we all are sent. The Great Commission is that wherever you find yourself, wherever God puts you, because, you know, sometimes you go places because you want to, and wow, as we're going to see in this passage, sometimes you go places because you don't have a choice and you're taken there. But wherever you end up, Scripture says, that's Jesus' command to us. Make disciples. You remember Tim's story from last week when he was sharing about sharing Jesus in the waiting room of the radiation? And he said, you know, I'm thinking about that like a missions trip. Tim has been sent to the waiting room at a radiologist. Now, you know, I can tell you, none of us prayed for that. Like that wasn't on, as Tim's boss, I can assure you that was not on Tim's list of things to do for this year. Get cancer so you can go get irradiated and share the gospel at some radiologist's office. That was God. God did that. God sent him there. And we're going to see the same thing happen today in Paul. So turn with me, Acts chapter 21. We're going to pick up the story in verse 37. The soldiers have just arrested Paul. The crowd's trying to kill him. Verse 37, we're going to read down to verse 29 of the next chapter. As the soldiers were about to take Paul into the barracks, he asked the commander, "May I say something to you?" "Do you speak Greek?" he replied. "Aren't you the Egyptian who started a revolt and led 4,000 terrorists out into the wilderness some time ago?" Paul answered, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no ordinary city. Please let me speak to the people." After receiving the commander's permission, Paul stood on the steps and motioned to the crowd. When they were all silent, he said to them in Aramaic, "Brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense." When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as jealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison, as the high priest and all the council can themselves testify. I even obtained letters from them and their associates in Damascus, and I went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice say to me, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' I asked. 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. 'What shall I do, Lord?' I asked. 'Get up,' the Lord said, 'and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do.' My companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that moment, I was able to see him. Then he said, 'The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to hear the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witnesses to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name.' When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance, and I saw the Lord speaking to me. 'Quick,' he said, 'leave Jerusalem immediately, because the people here will not accept your testimony about me.' 'Lord,' I replied, 'these people know I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him.' Then the Lord said to me, 'Go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles.' The crowd listened to Paul until he said this. Then they raised their voices and shouted, 'Rid the earth of him, he's not fit to live.' As they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust in the air, the commander ordered that Paul be taken into the barracks. He directed that he be flogged and interrogated in order to find out why the people were shouting at him like this. As they stretched him out to flog him, Paul said to the centurion standing there, 'Is it legal for you to flog a Roman citizen who hasn't even been found guilty?' When the centurion heard this, he went to the commander and reported, 'What are you going to do?' he said. 'This man's a Roman citizen.' The commander went to Paul and asked, 'Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?' 'Yes, I am,' he answered. Then the commander said, 'I had to pay a lot of money for my citizenship, but I was born a citizen,' Paul replied. Those who were about to interrogate him withdrew immediately. The commander himself was alarmed when he realized that he had put Paul, a Roman citizen, in chains." So, Paul, been taken up by the soldiers, been arrested, as we'll see in a minute. They think he's a terrorist. They think that he's this bad guy who was leading a revolution, and his way of leading it was basically, they were called dagger men. They would just sneak in places and stab people and kill them. And technically, they were trying to get rid of the Romans, but they were kind of indiscriminate on who they killed. And so the officer thinks that this is that guy, and the crowd's realized it, and they've turned on him, and they're trying to take him out. And so he's come down. So we're going to do exactly what I've told you to do. We're going to put ourselves in the story. What are the details? What are the things you notice about this story? Like, here's the first thing I noticed. Okay, and maybe it's a linguistic degree and that sort of thing. We know what language they're speaking. We've never heard that before, ever, in Acts. I mean, we assume Paul's been speaking Greek the whole time he's outside of Israel, and you assume he's speaking Aramaic, the language of Israel, in Israel, but he's never said it to us before. Three times we're told what language that they are speaking. We're told that Paul is speaking Greek to the Roman, which makes sense. Greek is the language of the Roman Empire. You may not know this, but Italian is only the Latin is only the language in Italy. Everywhere else in the Roman Empire, they speak Greek. Greek is the language of the army. He speaks Greek to the army officer. And then he speaks Aramaic to the crowd. Three times we're told what language Paul is speaking. Like, isn't that interesting that Luke is pointing out to us that Paul speaks Greek? And it's good Greek. We'll talk about that in a minute. He speaks Greek well, and he speaks Aramaic well. And then there's this other thing we find out three times, and that's about where he was born. Like, again, three times he's like, I'm a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, he says in verse 38. He tells him again in verse 3, I'm a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia. He tells him again in verse 28 of 22, I was born a citizen. Cilicia is no ordinary city. It's an imperial city. That's a big deal. Like, Luke highlights for us these three times that something about Paul's birth. Now, Paul has a chance here to speak to thousands of people. Like, we're told earlier, the whole city's in an uproar. Thousands of people. And Jerusalem's a big city. It's between like 50 and 100,000 people. And this is sometime around Pentecost, because we know that Paul was trying to get there for Pentecost. Assuming he did, like, the city's on the crowded side at this point, from all the people who've been coming in for the festival. There's tens of thousands of people Paul's about to preach to. But two things need to happen. Before he can preach to them, two very different things need to happen. The first is he needs the authority's permission. I mean, he's been arrested. He can't just be like, hang on a second, guys. Stand up, make his speech. He needs the authority's permission. As we said, the commander thinks he's this Egyptian terrorist, that the crowd has caught him and they're on him. And this guy, if he is that, we know about this Egyptian guy, like other historians of the time write about him. Like, the Romans want him dead. Like, if he's found this guy, that's great. The commander thinks Paul's this terrorist. What changes his mind? First thing, Paul speaks to him in Greek. It's like, what? Like, it's really, Paul speaks to him in this really nice, really respectful ancient Greek. And the commander's response is really surprised. Like, what? Like, I mean, he just says to him, you know how to speak Greek? He didn't expect that at all. The fact that Paul spoke good Greek is the first thing that happens, that the authorities let him make his speech. And the second thing is that he's a Jew from Tarsus, which is not in Israel. He's a Jew from an imperial Roman city. That's a big deal. He's not this Egyptian terrorist. He's not even a rabble rouser. He's not even from Jerusalem, but he is Jewish. Like, those two things, like, Luke points all this out to us, that it's Paul's ability to speak Greek. It's where he was born, the city he was born in. It's the fact that he can speak politely and eloquently with this army commander that makes the commander allow Paul to give his speech to these tens of thousands of people who've gathered around. So that's the first thing that has to happen. He needs the authority's permission. The second thing is he needs the people to listen to him. Because remember, it's a riot. They're all yelling things. You know, it says later they're ripping their clothes and throwing dirt in the air. Okay, I've never been tempted to throw dirt in the air as part of being frustrated, but apparently that's a thing. So remember that next time you're really frustrated about something, just pick up some dirt and throw it in the air. Like, people are going nuts here. They've got to listen to him. Why do they listen to him? When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, that's the local language of Israel. When they heard him speaking in their language, they got quiet and they listened to him. Like, isn't that interesting? These two things both have to happen. Paul has a chance to preach to tens of thousands of Jews in Jerusalem. But two very specific things have to happen. The Roman authorities have to let it happen, and the people have to listen to him. And it is Paul's history that makes all that possible. It is where Paul comes from. It is the languages Paul grew up speaking. He grew up in a Greek city to devout Jewish parents, we're told in other places in Scripture. So he learned Greek in his, I mean, it was everywhere in his city. Anywhere he went, anybody he knew who wasn't Jewish, he would be speaking Greek with him. Just like anybody who immigrates to America and their kids learn English, because it's the language. He learned Greek, but he was raised in a devout Jewish home. They certainly taught him Hebrew and Aramaic. He learned the scriptures, he learned to read them. It's Paul's history. Paul had nothing to do with any of that. Paul had nothing to do with where he was born. He had nothing to do with the fact that Tarsus is an imperial city. He had nothing to do with the fact that he was born a citizen. Outside of Rome, there's not that many places you can be born a citizen. Paul has one of them. He had nothing to do with that. He had nothing to do with the fact that he grew up knowing Greek and speaking it well, and he grew up knowing Aramaic and Hebrew and speaking well. All of that had to come together in this moment for Paul, so that he can preach Jesus to these people. And again, think about, remember Tim's story from last week. Think about everything that had to happen to bring Tim into that moment where he can share Jesus with people in those waiting rooms. He's got to get cancer. He's got to need radiation. Folks, we've spent over a year praying that none of that will happen. Like in staff, all staff prayer all the time, all of us personally, we've all been praying that God will just heal him, that God will heal Tim. I've said to God so many times, Lord, you can heal him with a word. He doesn't need to have surgery. He doesn't need to have radiation. He doesn't need to go through all this. You can heal him with a word. And the Lord has said no. And he did have to have surgery. And he does have to have radiation, because he's sent. All of that had to happen. Again, I can assure you that was not on any of our yearly to-do lists for Tim. Tim needs more places to meet non-Christians. Let's let him get a terrible disease and need to be made radioactive and glow every day for 8 weeks. I didn't have that on my, you know, well, here's how I think you could improve your performance this year, Tim. I think you could be radioactive on a daily basis. God did that because Tim is sent. And that's where God was sending him. He didn't go there of his own volition, just like Paul. Paul doesn't end up in front of this riot of his own volition. He doesn't end up in front of tens of thousands of people who want to beat him to death. He's there because God sent him. And because of who he is, and because of his history, and all these things that he could not control, the city he was born in, the languages he grew up speaking, the language he would have spoken in the home and the language he would have spoken out of the home, because of all of that, he is in exactly the right place to preach to these people. There's no one in this room, myself included, who could have done that. And I don't think any of us speak Greek and Aramaic, ancient Greek for that matter, and Aramaic. Like, God has put all this together for Paul to bring him to that place. You know, when Tim's in that waiting room, do you remember what was it that triggered that he got to speak to that woman? She couldn't see her phone. Like, Tim had to know enough about Android phones to recognize that. You know, he didn't tell you this, but he'd actually had that problem with his mother-in-law. I don't know when it was, a week or so ago. Like, as soon as he saw it, he's like, oh, I know exactly what this is. Like, I've dealt with this already. Again, he didn't do that. He didn't plan that. He didn't go, oh, I gotta take a class on Android screen brightness so I'm ready when I get in that waiting room. God had prepared all that for him so that when he got in there and someone needed help, he was able to say, oh, can I help you with that? And other people had tried and failed. And he was able to succeed. And that prompted the woman to give him an opening to speak. He didn't plan any of that. He didn't ask for that specifically. Oh, Lord, let somebody have a problem with their phone. God had to work all that out to send him there at that moment to those people, just like God is sending Paul here in this moment to those people. And nobody wants to get cancer, and nobody wants to have radiation every day, and nobody wants to have people trying to beat you to a pulp and be arrested for it. Paul has gotten beaten up, and he's the one being arrested. He's going to be flogged because they were trying to beat him. We don't ask God for these things, but God has worked all this together so that Paul, in this moment, has everything he needs to preach to these people. And what does he do? What does he tell them? What's his sermon to these people who moments ago were trying to kill him? He shares his testimony. Isn't that interesting? He shares his testimony. Like, I've told you before, I'm not sure I would have liked Paul, but I got a ton of respect for him. These people literally were trying to beat him to death moments ago. And what he says to them is, I was just like you. I get it. I was just like you. I grew up here in Jerusalem. I studied the law. I was just as zealous for God as any of you today. I persecuted the follower of the way to their deaths. Like, he talks to these folks who were just trying to kill him and says, I get it. I totally get it. I was just like you. Let me tell you what changed. What changed for Paul was that he met Jesus. That's what he tells him. I was just like you. And then Jesus spoke to me. Then I met him. He tells them his history. He tells them his testimony, how he met Christ. And I just want to say, short aside on the sermon, I found this so encouraging. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Paul's not persecuting Jesus. Paul doesn't even believe in Jesus. Paul thinks Jesus is dead and gone. Paul's persecuting Christians. He's persecuting the church. But Jesus says it to him twice. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. When Paul goes after Christians, Jesus takes that personally. If you're persecuting my people, you're persecuting me. Like, I found that so encouraging that Jesus takes it personally when people go after you. If you are his follower and people are come after you, you get abuse, you get persecution, you get mocked or whatever it is, Jesus takes that personally. Like, I found that really encouraging. I also found it a little troubling because, wow, we live in an age when it is so easy to do that to other people. In the age of social media, it is so easy to fire off some cheap shot at someone. And I thought, wow, Jesus takes that personally. I better be careful when I speak about other Christians. I better be careful how I talk about Jesus' other followers, even if I don't agree with them, even if I don't like the way they arrange their churches, even if I don't like some of their theology, whatever it is. Oh, I ought to be careful when I speak about other believers because Jesus takes that personally. All right, back to the regularly scheduled sermon. Paul shares his testimony with him. He says, I met Jesus. Jesus, who are you, Lord? And what shall I do? I mean, those are the two questions everybody on the planet's got to answer. Who is Jesus? What are you going to do about it? And those are the two questions Paul puts before them. That's what he says as part of his testimony. Who are you, Lord? What shall I do, Lord? I'm Jesus, and you need to obey me. You need to do what I say. We tell you every week, you are sent. It's on, you know, it's on the board. You read it as you go out. You hear, I mean, you don't just hear it as you leave. You hear it throughout the whole service. That be disciples who make disciples. We don't just want to be followers of Christ. We want to obey him. We want to be followers of Christ who help other people be followers of Christ. You are sent. It's a reality. It's going to happen. You're going to go somewhere today. Make disciples. Things are going to happen to you that you didn't ask for. Situations are going to come up in your life that you're not interested in. You are sent. You are there for a reason and a purpose. Wow, that ought to give us incredible hope and incredible boldness. And God has prepared you for it. Whoever you are, God didn't put you or me in this situation. We don't speak ancient Greek and we don't speak Aramaic. God didn't put us here in the scriptures. God put us here. He put us in all the places that we're going to go to today. All the people we're going to see. All the things that are going to happen in the rest of the week. Some of those you're going to plan and it's going to happen the way you expect. But let's face it. So much of life we have no control over. So many things happen to us that we have absolutely no control over. What if all of those things are part of you being sent? That you're not there by accident. That you speak the language, whatever the language is. That God has put you there intentionally. And what do you need to do? You need to share your testimony. You're a herald. You need to tell the truth. You need to explain. Yeah, I get it. I was just like you, Paul says. And then I met Jesus. And Jesus told me what to do. Everywhere you go, wherever you end up, wherever you go, whatever happens to you, make disciples. Here's how Paul does it in this moment. He just shares his testimony with them. That's all a herald is called to do, is to speak the truth. Folks, heralds aren't called to convince anyone. The Roman army has pushed the Parthians back. It's safe to travel now, all the way to the Euphrates. You don't have to believe me. You're welcome to huddle here in Israel. You don't ever have to go do business anywhere west of here in all the towns that have been freed up. That's up to you. It's not my job to convince you that it's true. It's just my job to tell you. That whole area that we used to say you couldn't go in because there was fighting, there's no more fighting. We beat them back. You can go there. It's safe. It's just my job as a herald to tell you. It's just your job as a herald, as an apostle, as a missionary. Choose whatever word you like. They all mean the same thing. They mean it's our job to tell people. It's our job to share, just like what Paul does. He just shares his testimony. Wherever you go today, could you tell your story? Like, is God opening something up? Something about you, your history, whatever it is. Has God put you there for a purpose? Whatever happens to you tomorrow, wherever you find yourself, because having gone, make disciples. God's put you there, just like he put Paul here. Just like Paul was prepared uniquely to speak to these people. You are prepared uniquely to speak to the people God sends you to because you are sent. What would it look like just to share your story? Yeah, I get it. I get it. I'm just like you. The only difference is I've met Jesus. He's spoken to me. Let me tell you what happened. And how people respond to that is their business. You notice nobody becomes a Christian in this story. Like, it doesn't work. I mean, I think back to, this is probably again around Pentecost. The last time we had tens of thousands of people gathered around a Christian in Pentecost was in fact at Pentecost, probably 25 or 30 years ago. And thousands of people became Christians. Like, Peter gives what I have told you is not the best sermon anyone's ever given. And people are like falling down. Oh, what do we do? How can we be saved? I mean, Paul preaches this, and what do? They want him dead. Heralds don't control any of that. You don't control how people respond to you. You cannot control whether people believe you or not. It's not your job to convince them. It's your job to tell them. You, just like Paul, just like me, just like every Christian, we have all received from Jesus, Paul says in Romans 1, grace and a commissioning as a herald. Wherever you go today, tomorrow, the next day, you're there because God put you there. See if he opens up a chance for you to share your story, just like he did for Paul. I'm not saying he will. I'm saying be ready. Be aware. So I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray over us. I'm going to ask God's Spirit to remind us that we're all heralds. That just like Paul, it's our job. God has prepared us to tell people our story. I'm going to pray that God gives you opportunities to do that, that you see them and courage to take them. Because let's face it, that for me at least, I need the courage many times to take the opportunities I see. So I'm going to pray for you. See if the Lord says anything to you. Again, you know, God told Paul to be prepared. He was going to get arrested and all these things. I don't know if he told him, hey, get ready. You're going to testify about me in front of those people. Who knows if God's going to tell you ahead of time or not. But wow, if he says anything to you, say yes. Everything he tells you is for our good. Pray with me. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your kindness. You are really gracious to us. I readily confess, I don't want to have to get cancer and radiation to fulfill the Great Commission, and I don't want to get beaten up in a riot and have people want to kill me to fulfill the Great Commission. But you are a God who uses everything, and you are a God who wants everyone to turn to you, and it doesn't seem like you ever miss an opportunity to tell people. So Jesus, we offer ourselves today. Use us. Wherever we go, we want to be part of how you are redeeming the world, how you are making disciples for your son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, remind us. Like, really, you know me. You know I need a good whack on the side to notice these things. Holy Spirit, remind us. Tap us, nudge us, whack us, do whatever you need to do to show us the opportunities that you're giving us, to show us where you have sent us. We are sent. There we are. We have this opportunity because of who we are, because of what we can do, because of all the things that you've done in us. We have this opportunity to open our mouths and share our stories. Lord, give us opportunities and give us courage. Give us courage to speak and to tell people the truth that, yeah, I was just like you, but I met Jesus. Meeting Jesus changed everything. Lord, be gracious to us. Use us. I know you don't need us. If you'd shown up in all your glory as Paul was speaking, every single person in that city would have fallen on their face and worshiped. But you didn't. It is somehow in your good pleasure that you use us as your heralds rather than showing up yourself in all your glory. I know you will one day. One day you will show up in glory and every knee will hit the ground and every mouth will say the same thing. You, Jesus, our Lord. But until that day, we are your heralds. So Jesus, give us opportunities. Give us eyes to see. Give us what we need to do this. Be gracious to us. Use us for your glory, Lord. We want to be part of what you are doing to transform and save this world. So we pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.